Welcome to Calvary Church, where we are dedicated to loving God and loving people. If you want to know more about us, please check us out online at calvary.ca. Now let's check out this week's message from our lead pastor, Stephen McDonald.
Hello, Calvary Church, and welcome back to episode 4 of our month-long faithfulness series that leads up to our annual Calvary Church vision offering that's happening next Sunday. Now, this offering is a very special moment for us as a church. This is a one-time, special gift that we're encouraging every department of the church to prepare for as we believe God for this miracle day of giving and generosity. And so all of us are giving together at this time during the year, knowing that alone we can't do near as much as we can when we come together. And it's more than just about projects. Projects are part of it. You'll see that as our floor is under construction now. But it allows us to take a giant leap forward in the mission that God has called us to and fulfilling those opportunities that he's placed before us. Because God can do so much more when we take what we have and put it in his hands. Ephesians 3, verse 20 says, "Now to him who is able to do immeasurably more than all we can ask or imagine, according to his power that is at work within us." So could you do this for me? I want to encourage you to pray, to prepare and to participate in this moment in time as we believe for a miracle on the 31st of the month. So at the end of the month, we're going to bring this offering above and beyond all our other tithes and offerings and really believe God for a wonderful moment to move the mission of the church forward. Now, we've been blessed this month to hear from Dr. Peter Legg, from Pastor Mark Batten, and then last week from our missionary, Bob Cave. And if you've listened to these messages, there's a thread that goes through everything they've said as they all attest to the faithfulness of God and their gratitude for what God has done in their lives, in their ministry, and in their business. Understanding that faithfulness is something that secures us. And Scripture tells us that God is eternally reliable, that he's steadfast, that he's unwavering, because faithfulness is one of his inherent attributes. And when a person walks consistently with the Lord and serves him, we reflect his nature, so we too are called faithful. You see, faithfulness affects every single relationship that we have. As a matter of fact, the Bible says that faithfulness is a gift from God. And when we receive Jesus as our Lord, the Holy Spirit fills us with his love, with his joy, with his peace, and with that faithfulness that makes the difference. You know, when we look back at Scripture, the Apostle Paul, in his concern for the Thessalonian believers, He was praying about how he could minister to them, how he could communicate an encouraging word, because there they were in this situation in time where they were taking a stand against false teachers, people that were coming in to speak against the very thing that they had given their lives to. And so Paul is trying to remind the Thessalonian church of the faithfulness of God, knowing that if they held that deep in their heart, that what God started, he would see through, that he would protect them, that he would strengthen them. 2 Thessalonians chapter 3, verses 3 to 4, it says, "The Lord is faithful." Listen, if I had to stop the message right now, that is the message right there. The Lord is faithful. He's faithful in your marriage, in your home, in your finances. He's faithful in your health. The Lord is faithful. And he will strengthen you and protect you from the evil one. Then Paul says, he says, "We have confidence in the Lord that you are doing and will continue to do the things that we command." You know, I believe we're living in a Holy Spirit-empowered day of renewed dreams, of renewed hopes, all fueled by the faithfulness of God. Joel 2:28, one of my favorite scriptures because it just shakes me on the inside, says, "And it shall come to pass afterward that I will pour out my spirit on all flesh. Your sons and your daughters shall prophesy, your old men shall dream dreams, and your young men shall see visions." So whether you see yourself as a young man or woman or an old woman or man, that applies to all of us, that we will dream God's dreams, that we will see his visions. But you know what? We haven't been filled with the Spirit just for our own spiritual goosebumps. We've been filled with great purpose. And when you experience the power of his faithfulness at work in your life, you will never live another day the same. That is the truth. Because the same Spirit that raised Christ from the dead, that same Spirit now fuels the vision that God has placed in your life. Vision stirs our faith. It helps us to focus on what's important. It keeps out all those other distractions. It's really what keeps us moving forward, moving the mission of not only the church, but our lives forward. And it provides meaning to the day-to-day challenges that we will all inevitably face. It's been said that vision is simply seeing the unseen. It's a picture of the future that produces passion within us to pursue it, to go after it. So, with eyes of faith, I want you to look beyond all the mandates. I want you to look past the COVID daily counts. I want you to look past all the health orders. And I want to ask you a question. What do you see? What do you see for your life, for your children, for your family, for your marriage? What do you see for your business and all that God has called you to do? You know, I've always been fascinated with the life of Walt Disney. This is an incredible man who was a visioneer. He was able to see what other people couldn't see. An incredible imagination. And you know what? Before some of Disney's most popular theme park rides like Space Mountain and Pirates of the Caribbean, before those rides ever even existed, he could see them. You see, he imagined a place where families could come and enjoy themselves together. Heard a great story of Walt Disney where he was standing in a remote clearing in beyond a wooded area, and he was looking just forward. And one of the workers looked at him because they were getting ready to break ground and do some construction. One of the construction workers said, "What do you see? What are you looking at, sir?" And he said, "I'm riding the rides that we're about to build." You see, he saw them before they ever happened, some of those rides, he wouldn't even live to see or experience. But he saw them before they even existed. And when Walt Disney World, which is, they say, about five times larger than Walt Disney or Disneyland, when it first opened, his brother Roy was there standing close to someone, and they said to him, "It's too bad that Walt couldn't have seen what we're seeing today." And Roy responded and said, "He saw it first. That's why you're seeing it now." God the Father saw in you the great potential that he has called you to live in before it even happened. You're living in it now because he saw it first. So here we are. Here we are living in a day we've never lived. Here we are watching or experiencing a service together that we've never seen or been a part of before, and looking at a future differently than we've ever looked at it before. Despite all that we face, in my mind, it's an exciting day to be alive, because when we choose to see the potential of what God sees, then nothing is impossible. Everything that we are believing for, Jesus saw first. Hebrews 12, verse 2 says, "Fixing our eyes on Jesus, the pioneer or the visioneer and perfecter of faith, for the joy set before him." You see, he saw it first, right? Because of the vision he had for you, for your family. Because of the joy set before him, which was your face. Because of that joy, the Bible says that he endured the pain of the cross. She had a vision that went past the difficulty. It went past the hardship. Today, wherever you are, whatever you're experiencing, you need to have vision to see past those obstacles and challenges that you're faced with right now. Physically, spiritually, emotionally, look past those things to see what God has created and fashioned for you to be. We need that ability to push past, because it's vision to see beyond the obstacles that produces that endurance in our life that we are going to need for the long run. You see, when you can see what God sees for your life, it will change the way that you get up in the morning, the way that you go to bed at night, the way you live your life, the way that you spend your money. It will affect the way that you speak. It will affect the things that you do. That's why it's so important to have a big vision for your family, for your children, for your marriage and your business. We need to have vision for those things in our lives so that we can have that endurance that we see demonstrated in the life of Christ. You see, through all the teachings of the Bible, we see this healthy picture of what could be in our lives. Things that could be when we put our life and our resources into the hand of God. When we take what we have and trust Him with it, He can multiply it and do incredible things. You know, for the past 2 years, like many of you, I have communicated with my parents and my family and our loved ones and friends remotely, you know, through FaceTime or Zoom. And you know, I'm thankful for the technology that allows us to do that, especially when we're spread out and separated by such a great distance. You know, we took time in those moments to tell stories, to laugh, to cry, to pray as we navigated difficult times. And you know what? I've never found it more challenging than to be separated from someone I love when they're going through something that I just want to be there for them. Whether it's a health issue, whether it's a life transition. It is so difficult to be geographically separated from somebody in those moments. Even though if we were there physically, we couldn't change it in a moment, but just to be there, to wrap our arms around someone, to tell them that we love them and that we're there for them. Last week, we had the opportunity as a family to travel back east to Nova Scotia to be with our family. We were there to celebrate my wife's mother's 80th birthday and also to celebrate Thanksgiving with our family. Listen, I've seen so many pictures of celebrations that happened without us or been on a FaceTime video call where everybody's eating turkey and we're not there a part of the celebration. But you know what? As great as those moments were to see that and to be a part of it through video or through technology, nothing, it doesn't come close to being there face to face. That face to face perspective changes everything. And it was wonderful. I mean, there was turkey, and more turkey. But more than that, there was the love of family as we came together, as we embraced one another and could express our love in a more personal way. And again, it's been wonderful even here within the church as conditions improve in the city to see so many of you beginning to return to church in person. I'm thankful that we're able to meet and gather online, and we will always take advantage of that technology. But there's something about the face-to-face perspective that changes everything. It gives us a clarity, and it brings everything into focus. And that's an important thing. It's an important thing to have that kind of focus. Because as we dream for our lives again, as we plan for our church, and look ahead to this next exciting new season of ministry, I want you to see it with clarity. I want you to have that face-to-face moment with what God has called you to do where it just comes clear. And how do we do it? You know what? For many people, you've heard us talk about our vision. We've sung about it. We've preached about it. We've taught it. We communicate and tell that story over and over and over again through social media, through Calvary Connect, on our website. We do everything we can, use every tool at our disposal to communicate that mission, because God has placed it deep within our hearts. But you know what? You can hear it. You can even see it online, but nothing comes close to that light bulb moment, that face-to-face perspective with the Savior, when you see your part in His plan. You see, it's not a vision for an organization. It's a vision for your life. Because as you capture what God has called you to do, and you come together with other people who are doing the same thing, that's when we begin to change cities and change nations. And we can influence and affect the world that we live in. That moment when someone moves from hearing us talk about our vision to seeing their part, their piece of the puzzle. When for the very first time they have their own face-to-face perspective shift, like I did when I was with my family. It went beyond seeing them online to being with them in person. Louis Giglio calls it moving from the mundane to the majestic. I love the explanation of that, how it paints that picture. When you experience a taste of what could be in Him, you will never live the same again. You know, sometimes we need to take time to remind ourselves, to take inventory, to take stock in our lives of God's faithfulness, of why He's called us to be where we're at today. And then to tell and retell that story so that we can pass that along to others, and so that we can lift up our eyes and see and experience the future of the church that He's called us to. So let me give you five reasons we all need to be a part of a church with the vision to see. Now, I'm going to give you three this week, and we'll finish the other two next week. But the first one, vision is the key to progress. See, without vision, you don't have progress. Everything grinds to a halt, and everything feels heavier than it should. See, it's the key to moving into the next chapter of what God's called us to do, even here at the church. The late Miles Monroe once said, "The greatest gift ever given to mankind is not the gift of sight, but the gift of vision. Sight is a function of the eyes. Vision is a function of the heart. Eyes that look are common, but eyes that see are rare. Nothing noble or noteworthy on earth was ever done without vision." Habakkuk 2, verse 2, a scripture that many of you may be familiar with, says, "Write the vision, make it plain," or "make it clear on tablets." Now our tablets are digital, but the need to make that vision clear is the same. It's more important than ever in a world that we hear so many opinions. We're being pulled to the left and to the right. We need to make that vision clear so that he who hears it, he who reads it, can run with it. Meaning he can live it in his life. Move past just a casual hearing of a vision to something that changes the way that you live. You see, vision is transferable. It's something that you can pass along to other people. And you do that by telling your story, by celebrating your wins. You know, every week we get together as a staff, and we begin every meeting the same. We celebrate our wins. We tell the stories of what God did in our lives and in our church. That's how we start our meetings. Years ago, Pastor Susan had the brilliant idea to buy this celebration bell for the office. And you know what? We mounted that thing on the wall, and every time we have an opportunity to celebrate one of our wins or to celebrate one another, we ring that bell. Every birthday, we ring that bell. Every birth, every salvation, every moment that happens that we can celebrate, we ring that bell, and people come out of their offices to see what's going on, because we want to take the time to tell and retell those stories of the progress that God has brought in our lives because of that vision. We're thankful for the new families that are coming to our church, for those that are becoming baptized, for those that are on their knees praying and believing for God to move in this generation. We are thankful for those things. But you know what? God isn't finished. The bell has got much more use in it. We're not just going to ring it a half a dozen times. We're believing that as we understand that vision is the key to our progress, that progress will lead to more opportunities to celebrate the wins and to keep ringing that bell. You need to ring that bell in your life, in your home. You need to celebrate your children and the things that they accomplish. You need to celebrate those milestones in your life as a married couple. Ring the bell. Celebrate what God is doing and tell and retell those stories. It will solidify the vision that God has put within you. Number two, no vision leads to die vision. This is a very serious truth. Proverbs 29:18 says, where there is no vision, the people perish. Simply put, if you don't want to perish, if you don't want to die, you must have vision for your life. You know, if you go to a city or a town where there's no vision, you'll see people walking around aimlessly like the walking dead. You feel a heaviness in the air. People are addicted and confused. They're lost. Streets are dirty. You see closed up businesses everywhere that you look. You see graffiti. And I'm not talking about the good kind of graffiti, because there is a good kind of graffiti. I'm talking just about a mess where people have given up. The crime rate has soared. You feel unsafe when you walk the streets. It's like the land that time forgot. I've been to many of those cities that once were thriving with vision and hope and life. And now it's like it's been drained from that place. But if you go to a city where there's vision, you'll see people working together, thriving. You'll see clean streets, and you'll feel the life and the incredible creativity in the air. There's music. There's something that happens when vision fuels the life of a city. That's the difference that vision can make. Same is true with a church or a mall. And I've been to many of both. And if a church or even a business like a shopping mall doesn't have a vision, you go in and it's like, man, how soon can we get out of this place? Because the life has left the building. But if you go to a church or a mall that's filled with vision, I'm going to tell you, it's the kind of place that you want to invite your friends to. You want to bring people with you. It's a place that you're proud of, like our church. We can't wait to bring people to Calvary to experience the life that's happening in this place. I love this house. I love what God has called us to do. And it's because of you. It's because of the family that carries this vision together. If you have a home, if you have a marriage or a family that lacks vision, then you'll have conflict. You won't have peace. There'll be confusion. There'll be anger. There'll be unforgiveness. Nobody's having dinner together. Nobody's talking together or going on a vacation together. But if you have a home, if you have a marriage or a family that's filled with vision, there's an incredible peace. Not a perfection. I didn't say perfection, but there's a peace that comes, a hope. People are talking and laughing and enjoying one another's company. Where there's no vision, there is die vision. People perish. It's vision that is the difference maker, especially when it's a vision empowered and led by God's Holy Spirit. And one more for today, and we'll finish the rest next week. Number three, vision accelerates devotion. Proverbs 29:18, read from a different version than we read earlier, says this: where there is no vision, the people are unrestrained. They're unrestrained. The reason many people live an undisciplined life is because they lack vision. If you don't have vision, you live your life without restraint, in excess. You waste time, you waste money on things that don't matter. They have no eternal value because you lack vision. See, God's people are God's plan for this world. But when we become distracted, when we begin living at a lower level of devotion, it begins to affect what God has called us to do. When you live at a lower level of devotion to God, you begin to see comfort and ease instead of mission and vision. But a vision for God, a vision for His house, for His church, it compels people to live this devoted life as they serve together in community. That kind of church will impact a city. It will shake a nation and it will touch the world. You see, I have such high regard for those in our church that deliberately move from the place of being a spectator to a participant, who are willing to roll up their sleeves and get involved and give of their gifts. those that are willing to say, I'm going to become a part of a small group. I'm going to sacrificially put money aside this month to give towards the vision offering, to invest in the mission that God has called us to. I take time to encourage and salute people like that. Those that are willing to take an oar and help row the boat to move the mission forward. Those are the kind of people that God applauds as you allow that vision to bring you to your feet, to a place of action. Those who pray, those who lead, those who serve and give. I honor you. I honor you today, and I thank you for what God is doing in your life. Because what it means is that we're devoting ourselves to something that is so much bigger than ourselves. See, we need the vision to see past the obstacles. The kind of vision that is not improved with eyeglasses, but with a change of heart. Today, if that's you, if you're going through things in your life that you've tried to change, you've tried to see and to live a different story, but it's ended in frustration, give your heart to Jesus. He loves you so much. Everything we do is all about that life-changing message. And if that's you today and you say, Pastor Steve, would you pray for me? It would be my great honor to pray for you. And for those of you that know Christ, that may have maybe strayed to the left or to the right, or maybe let that vision wane, today God can refire that within you. Would you pray with me right now? Let's pray for that kind of life change that only comes through knowing Him, that only comes through a change of heart. Father, in Jesus' name, I pray for those that are living their lives without you, that are living in frustration, that are feeling the weight of what's happening in the earth, and they're feeling the emotional strain of it all, and their mental health is under fire. Today, I pray for relief. I pray for healing. I pray, Lord Jesus, that in the recognition of who you are in their lives, that you would fill them with vision. If that's you today, pray this simple prayer with me wherever you're watching from. If you're out running, listening to the podcast, or if you're watching online today, pray this simple prayer. Lord Jesus, I recognize my need for a Savior. Forgive me of my sin. Come into my heart and be my King. Be my Lord. And fill my heart with vision. And help me to share that story with whoever I come in contact with, in Jesus' name. And Father, I also pray for those that know you, that have maybe lost their way, that today you would bring them back, and with incredible focus, you would fill them with vision. As they understand what you've called them to do, may they be strengthened by the body, by this community of faith, as we stand together. In Jesus' name we pray, amen. Men.